Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verses 10 to 23. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, "I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal." Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." And Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." So Samuel had said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, when someone has been given power, there's always the danger of corruption. You see it in the government. You see it in corporations. You see it sometimes in the police force. You see it in businesses. Every walk of life is affected. You even see it in the case of kings. Especially in the case of kings who have ultimate authority, ultimate power, there's even a greater danger of corruption. This summer, we've been looking at Old Testament Bible stories. 2 weeks ago, we heard of the little boy Samuel, who was called by the Lord to be the first prophet of Israel. But he also was the last judge of Israel. Samuel was very faithful, proclaimed what the Lord of God said to him. And through his proclamation of the word, there was a reformation throughout the land. People turned away from the false gods to worship the Lord Jehovah. But after some time, the people got tired of being ruled by God indirectly through these judges, and they wanted to be like all the other people, all the other nations around them. They wanted a king. They wanted someone they could see, honor, look to, praise, and glory in. It was a slap in God's face. And yet God acceded, and he gave him a king, as we heard, the first king, Saul. Saul began very well. He was not great in his own eyes, humble, obedient young man. In fact, as we heard in our scripture reading, he was hiding among the baggage when they wanted to make him king. The office sought him out. But then there were three tests to Saul's faith that was laid upon him, and he failed all three of them. Saul lost his humble, obedient heart, and his obedience, power of his office, began to fill his heart, and pride came in. Pride, one of the greatest enemies of mankind, and pride, one of the greatest servants of Satan. Solomon, the wisest man, said in Proverbs this about pride: pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. None will go unpunished. God lists pride as one of the seven things that he detests. Over and over in the Old Testament, he gives warnings against pride. Just ask Nebuchadnezzar about pride. Nebuchadnezzar was punished for his pride. He spent some time living out in the woods eating grass like a wild animal. The apostle says that false teachers, false prophets, are filled with pride, knowing nothing. And James says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So why does God speak so much about pride, both in the New and the Old Testament, condemning it so much? Well, first of all, it's because every one of us has it. It's in our sinful hearts that we think more about ourselves than others. And secondly, the sin of pride rears its ugly head through disobedience. Pride exalts itself above God. So when God says, thou shalt not, our pride says, no, I will, and I will do what I think, rather than what you say. As we said, Saul had three tests of his faith as king. The first test came when Saul was told that he should wait for Samuel to offer a sacrifice before he went into battle. So Saul waited. And he waited. And he waited. And it appeared that Samuel wasn't coming. Some of his soldiers began to leave and go home. Saul was concerned and worried. Maybe he won't have enough to fight the battle. So Saul thought, I'll just offer the sacrifice. To him, it was no big deal. Small matter. But God had said, no, you wait for Samuel. Saul was just done offering the sacrifice when Samuel showed up and said Saul had sinned greatly against the Lord. Second test of his faith. Saul was going to fight against the Philistines. So he called Ahijah, the high priest, to come and pray to find out what the will of the Lord was. And that's a good thing. So Ahijah already, he's about ready to pray, and all of a sudden Saul sees and he hears in the Philistine camp disarray and chaos. He sees that they're all in turmoil. He says, withdraw your hand. In other words, you don't need to call upon God now because I can take over. I'll conquer them. The prayer was more like a good luck charm to see if God would tell him good news or bad news. And the third test of his faith was in our text this morning. Saul was told to go and conquer the Amalekites and destroy them all. Men, women, children, animals. Because they were so wicked and so vile and evil toward his own people, the Israelites, God says, sacrifice everything, burn all their possessions. But again, Saul failed this test. His pride again led him to disobey the Lord, his clear directive, and instead he decided to keep King Agag alive, no doubt to drag him around and show the victory that he had done, to also glorify his pride. We read in verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. And then in verse 12, we're told that Saul went down to Gilgal and built a monument to himself, no doubt dragging the king around, again showing his great victory. Imagine the disappointment that the prophet Samuel must have felt when the Lord God revealed to him what Saul had done. No doubt Samuel remembered back to what we heard in our first reading this morning, that glorious time when he anointed that young man, that faithful, humble, obedient young man named Saul, to be the king of Israel. And now he's called upon by God to confront this self-righteous, self-centered, arrogant, pride-filled king and disobedient king. Samuel was grieved, and we're told he cried out to the Lord all night long. When he approached Saul, Saul proudly proclaimed, "Oh, blessed are you of the Lord! I performed the commandment of the Lord." Did Saul really think he could pull the wool over Samuel's eyes? Or fool God? Or do you think that God was just kidding and joking when he said, "Utterly destroy everything"? Samuel responds, well, what is this bleating of the sheep in my ears? And the lowing of the oxen which I hear? In other words, where did all these animals then come from? Here is a time and a place for Saul to acknowledge his sin, to realize he had not done what God had said to him, to have the law crush his pride, to cast his sins upon the Messiah, to plead forgiveness, repentance to the Lord, and ask for forgiveness. But instead, he would not listen. First, he tried to blame the soldiers. It was their fault. They kept the animals alive, but they only kept the best ones alive. They killed all the rest, but they wanted to do it for a good purpose. Samuel was not taken in by Saul's excuses. In fact, they seemed to have sickened him even the more, and he said, "Be quiet! And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head over the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And again, Saul's heart was not changed. Again, he tries to defend himself. And in so doing, he blames God as a liar. He calls him a liar. He says, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, the sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And then Samuel's response to Saul's continued excuses is the heart and core of this morning's message. Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, look, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, that is to listen, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." To obey is better than sacrifice. God didn't want the sacrifice of all those animals. He wanted Saul to obey his word. The obedience of faith is better than the sacrifice of fools. God didn't want those animals sacrificed. He wanted Saul to obey his word. The Lord did not want Amalek, the king, to be carried around and shown off so that Saul received all the glory and honor. But instead of being obedient, Saul tried to cover up his disobedient, pride-filled heart with sacrifices, with offerings. But the Lord sees into everybody's heart. The Lord desires of us, you and me, the obedience of faith. This coming Thursday, it's Thanksgiving. We all know that. Wednesday night, we're going to come and bring our praises of thanksgiving and love to the Lord. So how do we show our thankfulness to God? Is it simply by showing up and sitting in the pews? Singing praises with our voices? Giving of our offerings? Or is it by intently listening to God's word, being moved to repent of our sins, to lay them all upon Jesus Christ, and then with the joy of forgiveness ringing in our hearts, to pledge faithfulness to the Lord and to live in obedience to his word? Unfortunately, it's much easier to give an offering or sacrifice than it is to place every thought, word, and deed into subjection in obedience to God's word and to follow his will. But God is more glorified by obedience than by sacrifices and offerings. Disobedience is abomination to the Lord. Because before the Lord, the disobedient heart sets itself up as a replacement for God itself. God's no longer first in our heart. When God says, do this, and I say, no, I'm going to do this. And so often we're like Saul, we come up with compromises. Sometimes we as children think, well, if I go to church, God will be happier with me than if I have to obey my parents. Or if I give some money on Sunday morning, then God will be happier than if I have to, you know, be sharing and kind and loving to my sister or brother or my classmates. And sometimes we ourselves feel the same way. We feel that God still loves us no matter what, even if we willfully live in disobedience to his clear words. Like Saul, no one wants to be confronted, likes to be confronted, with their sins or with their compromising of God's laws or with their willfully disobeying God's law. Someone has said that sin is a brat that nobody wants laid at their doorstep. But without our recognizing sin for what it is, disobedience, breaking God's commandments in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, realizing that every time we sin and break God's law, we deserve eternal death and damnation. And if we do not see that in Christ Jesus, we receive the full and free forgiveness because God the Father condemned him for us, then we can't see the seriousness of pride, the seriousness of disobedience. God said, the only way I can take away that pride from your heart and that sin in your heart is by taking my beloved Son and damning him for you. That's how serious sin is. Unfortunately, Saul didn't listen to anything that Samuel said. He remained in his disobedience. And next Sunday we'll hear of Saul's ultimate end after such a good start. If we're honest with ourselves, we too will see in our hearts the sin of idolatry in the form of pride, at times self-praise, at other times stubborn rebellion or disobedience to God's word. And how often don't we also compromise? Well, maybe I'll give a little more money next week. Maybe I'll say a few more prayers rather than just confessing our sins and laying it all upon Christ. Obedience is better than sacrifice. The obedience of faith in all simplicity is the way of wisdom. But he refuses to repent and insists on bringing offerings and sacrifices to the Lord to cover up his unrepentance. That's the way of a fool. May you ever be aware of the trap of mechanical worship. That means just coming, sitting, and then going. Singing praises with our lips and tongues, but our hearts not in it. Being here with our bodies, but our hearts and minds not listening, not being led to repent of our sins and praise the Lord from the heart. For such hypocrisy, Heavenly Father, please forgive us. In Jesus' name. And may we never, like Saul, try to cover up a heart of rebellion with a show of piety, bringing sacrifices and offerings before the Lord, but rather be moved to repentance, to admit to our sins, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring forth fruits of repentance. And that is a heart, obedient faith to God. Join our hearts in prayer. Watch against thyself, my soul, lest with grace thou trifle. Let not self thy thoughts control, nor God's mercy stifle. Pride and sin lurk within, all thy hopes to scatter. Heed not when they flatter. But while watching, also pray to the Lord unceasing. He will free thee, be thy stay, strength and faith increasing. O Lord, bless in distress, and let nothing swerve me from the will to serve thee. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.